No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we've got Canada's very own Roy Woods in here. How you doing, Roy?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm in LA and back home, man.
Yeah. Wait, so how long you been in LA now?
Since I've been coming to LA?
Or this trip?
Oh, this trip, I'm only here for 2 days.
Oh, okay.
And then I go to New York after.
Really? What are you doing in New York?
More press for the album. More press for Say Less, you know what I'm saying?
I'm very intrigued by this lifestyle of yours that you live. You seem like you're kind of a jet setter. You're always like running around doing all kinds of fancy ass shit that I'm sort of jealous of. So then when you were like, yo, I can't believe I'm on No Jumper, I was like, you'd probably do sick shit all the time.
Yeah, but you know, I'm still young. You know, I still got shit to see, you know, like a lot to experience. So
How old are you?
21.
21?
Yeah, 21.
Oh, man, 21. You are young, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because we started hearing about you when you were fucking really young.
Really? Like how young?
I don't know. You tell me when I first heard. I know what it was. It was the one song with Drake when I first heard you.
Okay.
And first, like, was like, okay. Because, you know, I'm like, I'm more of a rap fan. So it's like,
cause
that's why I feel bad for R&B type singing dudes, because sometimes they need that feature for me specifically to, like, know or, like, pay attention. Because otherwise, I just don't necessarily gravitate towards it. But then I start fucking with dudes once I hear them with rappers, usually.
Yeah, I feel you.
I'm like the whole problem with the fucking music industry right there.
Is it?
I don't know. Don't you think that's kind of a problem? That it's almost like a weird like compromise where like sometimes, not always, but you hear like R&B records where you will then hear them like stick a rapper on it for like commercial reasons, but that just doesn't sound right.
I mean, it sometimes it's hit or miss. Back in the days, that was popping, bro. Mm. You know, you get an R&B singer on the hook and the rappers do their thing. Bro, that was wavy, you know
rappers
what I'm saying?
Rappers never just go out of their way to get singers due to the hooks now, I feel like.
I haven't really seen that.
Yeah, it's less.
Singers today are more like rappers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what is weird about somebody like you. And I guess it's the same thing that rest in peace, Lil Peep, that they say about him.
Rest in peace, Lil Peep, for sure.
Post Malone, sort of similar thing where it's like you sing, but you sing kind of like a rapper.
Yeah,
a little bit like in your delivery and in the song structures sometimes. Like sometimes I feel like you're rapping when you're singing, and sometimes I feel like you're singing when you're singing.
Yeah, I used to rap before. I ever started singing, so you know that's like something that's instilled in me.
It's deep in your bones. Yeah. But I mean, that's the weird thing about like being a kid in this world today, though, is that like you can't avoid like how big rap is in general, and how much like even for you as somebody who decided to go in a different direction, that must have been like a huge influence in the beginning, because it's so much easier to come out and just be, oh, I'm a rapper and I'm gonna talk about guns and talk about all this crazy shit, you know?
Yeah, it was more easy because a lot of people were doing that, you know, in my area. And even if they weren't doing it, they still want to talk about it, you know what I'm saying? Fabricate their life or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I always took away from that and always wanted to be different. I wanted my sound to be different, more original, more me, you know, talk about my life, my pain, my everything I see day to day, you know what I'm saying? My problems, my happiness, everything, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like, damn, like, I feel, but, I don't know, that's fabricating shit is not for me.
Yeah, that's what stands out to me when I was like really digging into your music. It's like, damn, this dude is so open and deep, you know? And a lot of people, when they come out and they say, bitch, I'm my dick. I can't even do it. You know what I mean?
Bitch on my dick.
What's on the tits? There we go. Boom. We just made a song. He say he can't rap. We rapping.
We out here, man. We out here, shit.
But it doesn't take any sort of vulnerability to be that kind of guy who just like rhymes some bullshit. And you know, it's like, but when you come out and actually start talking about your feelings and stuff, and it's a very different game to be in.
Yeah, I feel it is, because, you know, you always have to search for a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to, when I started even making, like, R&B music, I was always just making music about girls and pain, and pain I went through, pain that they would go through in their life, too. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was like, even writing for music for me is like, it was, like, R&B songs is like, it was difficult at first for me, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm really switching from rapping all the time to singing about my feelings, right? And it sounded like, as you said, like a rap almost, right? But it was normal for me, you know what I'm saying? But that getting into that channel, that space, that energy became all easier over time, you know what I'm saying? Because I started just taking my craft way more serious than I ever have, you know, believing in myself and making sure that I'm pushing myself all the time to get there. So like whenever I feel sad and shit, I don't just stress upon it, you know. I have to channel that energy.
When I first, I was reading one of your like super old interviews, and you kind of said you said something along the lines of, I don't really necessarily 100% know who I am or what kind of music I'm making, but I'm figuring it out through my music. Yeah. And as I went through your shit, I heard that so much. Whereas as on the newer project, it just feels so much more confident, so much more realized that you know who you are. And that's interesting to see that journey.
Yeah, I was definitely finding myself. Mm. You know, that was definitely finding myself, figuring out who Roy Woods is and who Denzel Spencer is, you know, figuring out... but now I'm in a space where I've known myself way more than I ever have.
Right.
Way more confident. I feel way more what's what I'm looking for? I just feel like I'm really with me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And no one could take me away from that, pull me away from my beliefs, my thinking. You know, like I'm really like stuck on like what I am now, who I am now. And it's not Roy. It's just me. Feeling that feeling and looking in the mirror and being able to like be like, yo, like you're a cool guy.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever the fuck you have and the life you live, you're a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Then you're respected, you know, for what you do. That's why I feel like I'm good. I love my job.
Yeah.
You know? I don't even see it as a job. This is like, I call it workations, you know what I'm saying? When I have to go out of the city and shit. Cause it's like, it's a beautiful opportunity to love what you do. And then do it all, and that's literally what you have to do all the time. And then love yourself at the same time doing it.
Yeah,
you know, it's been beautiful.
And use that to make so many people happy. It's like the most insane thing ever. And you really think about that's what it is to be an artist. That's what it is to be a musician in particular. Is like you're a person who has to be able to fully express who you are to a bunch of people who oftentimes don't necessarily feel that same degree of confidence. Like we all know what it feels like when we hear that one Meek Mill song on the radio where he just sounds like he could take on the world. And that's like really what people are trying to find in music, or if it's the vulnerability and the passion, it's like, you know, they want to be able to hear that because maybe they don't fully know their own feelings in such a way, you know?
Yeah, you know, some people don't know how to express.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know how to express fully or express the way they want to,
mm-hmm.
you know? But
especially when you're young. When you're 16, you really don't know who you are because you haven't had much time or experience to figure it out, you know?
More times you just with your friends.
Yeah.
You know? You don't even spend time alone as a teenager. I never really did. I know, unless like I was forced to.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so let's go all the way back. You're from Brampton, Ontario.
Yes, sir. B-town.
To me, that sounds like a blood hood. Maybe it was like called Crampton at one point, and they kind of were like, "Nah, we're gonna switch this up."
That's funny because Brampton is the least gang related shit going on there. Trust me.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, like 99% of Canada is like there ain't a whole lot going on in general.
Oh,
so,
don't get it twisted. Shit goes on over there.
Oh yeah, but yeah, I'm just saying, crazy, there's so much countryside and shit that there's like, you know, was it that kind of area or was it more?
Yeah,
like,
it was more countryside. Okay. But the thing is, when it's more countryside, there's nothing to do. So there's just more trouble to cause.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? There's way more drugs. People are doing drugs like early ages rather than people in downtown, that I feel at least.
Yeah.
Right? Because like, that has just nothing to do. Where can you go? The downtown I had is a strip.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that goes only for like four blocks, bro. Right? Yeah. Or even three. So like, compared to downtown Toronto, bro, there's literally nothing. Even the city beside me, where parties from Mississauga, way bigger.
Yeah, like where I grew up, it's like right now, it's like the heroin death capital of the United States type shit. And it's like people will say like, oh, you're from the suburbs. It's like, well, there's got to be somebody in that suburb who's making a whole lot of money selling all this heroin.
Could be balling, bro.
I don't know who it is, but he might not live there necessarily. But I mean, like, yeah, small towns and shit, sometimes it's the most fucked up shit goes on there.
Yep, scary. Dark shit too. You don't even know.
So
twisted shit.
What were your parents like? What kind of upbringing did you have?
I had. I'm from a Guyanese household.
Right.
Right. So it's South American. And my. I had both of them. Well, I had both of my parents when I was born. My mom had me first, and then actually she had an older sister, my older sister, but she passed away from early birth. And then I was born, and then she had my little sister, and we were. It was me, my dad, and my little sister, and my mom. And we were all, I was living in Toronto, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because I was born in North York Hospital. So that's like, that's a little bit up from downtown.
Wait, so right? When did you move to Toronto?
I was already in Toronto.
Oh,
I
you
was
were born there. Okay.
Yeah, I was born in Toronto. And then I went around from places like the Yorkdale area, if you ever heard of Yorkdale before. It's like a mall right in the North York region. So I was around there. I used to live around there when I was a kid, like Allen Road. And then I moved around because my mom left my dad, and we moved from like Jane and Finch, which is like a hood, like Driftwood. I was there, but I had family in there, so I used to go there, like here and there, stay at them a little bit. Then I went out to like another place called Malton, which is in between Brampton and Mississauga, mm-hmm. right? It's very small. I was there for a bit when I was a kid, and then I finally went to Brampton at like, the year was 2000, mm-hmm. right? So that's when I was in Brampton, never moved, stayed there for, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes I'd go back to like, Jane and Finch for my with my family because you know we'd have problems and shit, my dad and shit, whatever. But my I had like what, nine aunts. yeah. So like me and like I never went back home a lot. I only went back home like last year. I went back home for the second time in my life.
Okay,
you know what I mean. And all I really, me and my sister, we just, you know, have a relationship on the phone with our family, my grandma and my aunts, you know, my cousins and everybody. So. Me, especially like, I don't know, being Guyanese, I'm native Guyanese. So it was like, it was weird for me and my sister. I felt like we looked different from all the black kids. It looked so weird. I don't know. I always felt that way.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, there's always those weird sort of competitions and like, you know, I remember when I first moved to Brooklyn and I heard for the first time, like two black kids arguing over who was blacker. Like, no, you darker than me, you lighter, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, I didn't even know that this was a thing. Yeah. Or like, you Jamaican or some shit. It's like, you Jamaican. Like, so what? And like, I was like, oh yeah, there's like, there's a lot of very fine lines, like, you know, within black people that like, but so with the Guyanese, yeah. Is that very common type of people in Canada? Is there a lot?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Not a lot. We're there though. Or about, mm-hmm. but you know, but the Jamaicans are all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're all over. Guyanese, the Guyanese is really just mainly in Toronto.
Okay,
you know,
interesting. So, what kind of kid were you to start out?
I was a happy kid. Mm-hmm. I loved to love life, and I played football all the time because that's what my dad got me into.
Right.
You know, so I was just like running around, just being a happy little kid. And high school, I mean, school was I didn't like have a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. I was just like,
why was it?
I don't know. I was never really, I wasn't like liked a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, from like kindergarten. So I just made my one, two friends here and there, and then friends would move away, so I'd have to make new friends and shit. Mm-hmm. But I adjusted to it after a while, you know. Middle school came by, it was like the same shit. But high school, like by like grade 11, shit got better for me. You know, I started like, I don't know, just like dressing different and just appreciating like clothes. I really had a love for clothes. Mm-hmm. Right. And it was just like old school shit, you know, like
did you not realize the like importance of clothes before that, in the sense that like, you know, that is so much of how people judge you.
Yeah, I didn't, but I never cared about clothes. Mm-hmm. Right, because my like me and my mom's like we never really had anything, you know. We came from like nothing, you know. And but my mom would always just try to make ends meet. So, and she didn't want me working, you know. Mm-hmm. So like money wasn't something that I'd like see, you know. Right. If I had it, I had it, but it was like a $20 here and there, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I used to go to the thrift just to get clothes, the thrift stores and shit.
Right.
When I was a kid, you know what I'm saying, just to get clothes. I'd never really gotten the high end stores, but I'd always find high end shit in there. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had some cousins that would give me clothes and shit. That was like way back. I just kept it, you know?
Right.
Just certain pieces, just, you know, swag it out. And that's what, like, I guess, like, had me good in high school. I had no shoe game, though.
No
like,
shoe game?
No. I did not pay attention to shoes.
Really?
Not at all. No, I'm starting
to. See,
I'm just,
I grew up like that, shoes. Too, where I never had Jordans. I just didn't really know about it, you know?
Yeah, I never had that shit, bro.
I hear people talk about it now, like, oh, that was what it was all about. When I was a kid, I'm like, yeah, well, that means you had money.
Yeah.
Like, more money than I had. I didn't have no $120 for a fucking pair of Jordans.
Bro, I had to pay $120 to get into football, to play football for high school, so I didn't worry about Jordans.
Yeah, and you were probably thinking, like, you know, I'm into the real hardcore shit. I'm out here fucking killing myself in these football games. Fuck, spend all this money on some basketball shit.
I don't play basketball like that. What the fuck am I going to use it? I'm just going to destroy it anyways playing ball on the court. I used to play ball here and there with my friends. Okay.
You're just athletic in general?
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Yeah, super. I love all sports, man. All right. I just love playing sports. Also, gym would always be my fucking favorite class, but I was always like, you know, always active.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, I was a polar opposite of that.
Really?
Huh, I suck at sports. You're lucky you had that to go on. That's like what all the young boys judge each other on, I feel like.
Sports, yeah. Sports and fighting and shit.
Sports, fighting. Yeah, fighting's a type of sport. That's just like the most realistic sport for them to take part in, I feel like.
So, I never took in that.
No, you were never a fighter?
No, I've never been a fighter. I never fought for no reason. I fight for reasons.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So. Yeah, it took me a while to figure that out, that fighting is very bad and you should only do it if you absolutely have to.
Yeah, like, you know, why would I, like, risk getting in trouble with you fools?
Yeah, totally. Were you ever arrested in high school or anything?
Never been arrested.
Never ran into trouble?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No. I was a cool kid, man. My thing.
That's good. So
smoked weed.
You smoked weed at a young age?
I smoked weed when I was... I only started smoking when I was 14.
Okay.
Right?
That's my favorite thing to talk about in here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It happens a lot. You don't have weed on you?
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not smoking.
Well, I got enough weed for a fucking army right now. Actually, not really, but I got like a free half pound from fucking this company that we fuck with for my birthday party that we had the other day, and I was just walking around the party handing out ounces to everybody. I felt and like the whole party is just burning down insane amounts of weed. I was like, man, I feel so happy that I caused this.
It's because of me here.
Even though like an hour in, my throat was just like, yo, you should stop smoking so much right now. I was coughing so bad and shit. Yeah.
Bro, I know those ones, man. Yeah. I know those ones. Shit.
But so you were smoking and doing football, so you don't think that there's like a reason why you can't do both?
Well, what do you mean? Like,
can you play football and smoke weed in high school effectively? Because I feel like one might sort of take away from the other.
Actually, I was good. Yeah. I used to balance it out proper because I was responsible when it came down to smoking.
Right.
Well, back then.
Yeah. Well, then you had to play football. Now you just got to go on stage.
Right. Yeah. So, but I mean, like, even then, I wasn't even dealing with as much. Mm-hmm. You know, my life was way more simple back then. Now I look up on it. Look back on it. It was way more simple. So I didn't really even need to, like, I didn't feel the need to smoke as much. I was just smoking to, you know, not for, like, forget shit, they say. That's when you really start smoking weed. Yeah, I wanted to smoke because I want to forget my shit. Nah, you're just smoking because you like to get high.
I forget shit. That's what's funny when you do interviews and people are like, oh, I don't remember anything in my whole life because I've been smoking so much weed. I'm like, stop lying. That's not how it works.
Nah, man, there's more to that.
Yeah, there's more to it. Man. You might got hit in the head. Was that a big part of why you stopped playing football? It's because of the concussions? I thought that was pretty interesting.
It was kind of a part of it, but I wanted to play one more year before I started taking music seriously. I met my manager, Kirby.
Okay.
Same year I was supposed to graduate, which I did graduate, but I didn't want to yet. I wanted to graduate next year and do a fifth run and then just play football for that year for the next school, because I transferred from a public school to a Catholic school my last year, right? And because I just wanted to change. I just didn't want to be in the other school anymore. So I switched, and you're not allowed to play for any school teams, basketball, anything, nothing, for a whole year, right? So I was like, fuck it. Let me just take another year, do another year of school, right? Because I don't even know what I'm going to do in my life, and play football. But I met Kirby. And since then, we've been just making music, making moves, man.
Right.
Yeah.
So wait, you met your manager, and like, how much music did you have at that point? All right, let's just go back a little bit more. How did you even start making music in the first place?
I started making music when I was, 16? I started writing. The first track I ever remember, like, taking serious when I was writing, because I used to write over remixes a lot, right? Because I didn't have beats.
The culture. So, that was the culture back then.
Remixes. Man, I miss those days. But yeah, fuck. I was writing over to like Bree's Interlude by Drake and Omarion. I was writing over that shit. And that was actually the first track I ever dropped.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think it's on YouTube anymore. I don't think any of it. But I don't know. I don't know where it's gone. But yeah, I made that. And then I took it. Yeah, no, somebody else took it down. That's what happened. And then I shot a music video with my boys. My boy from upstairs, Shamar, he used to record me. He used to watch me to school when I was a kid. And he recorded me, and we made this track called Kalumanati. It was over a Joey Badass beat, right? Because it was actually the same song, because Joey Badass had a song called Kalumanati.
And how would you describe your music at this point when you first started? Was it fully
completely
rap?
Different.
Okay.
It was all rap.
All rap.
Right. I had some singing songs, right? I had some R&B, but it was never like up to par, right?
Right.
But I was just strictly rapping bar for bar for bar for bar for bar. I'm going fast. I never really like going like having space in between my bars. I'm like, why? Just fill it up.
Right.
So I was just always double time rapping.
No space between your bars. That's like another confidence thing too, though. It's like if you're really like, I hate that when people act like, oh, like rap is all about lyricism. It's like a lot of times when someone's really lyrical is because they're covering up the fact that they're not confident and that they're scared to just let the track breathe a little bit.
Yeah, like you have to know when you're rapping, you're also, you know, this is art at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you have to attack it at many different angles.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't just like, I feel like focus on one thing when you're making music. You have to focus on multiple. Like, you know, I focus on the flow. I focus on my lyrics, punch. You gotta focus on, like, you know, even the beat itself, the producer, there's certain things you want in the beat.
Yeah.
You know, I always, that's how I look at it. You know, I never just wanted to look at it from one way.
Mm. Right? Yeah, because like the best songs are songs in which, because really at the end of the day, every song, rap, R&B, whatever, it's a backing track and it's a motherfucker singing or rapping over it. Mm-hmm. And it's like the greatest songs are ones that make you completely forget about how simple what is taking place really is. And yeah. It's like it becomes more than one. And a lot of that for rappers is being able to like ride the beat in such a way that the beat becomes more than just a beat, because mm-hmm. you're dancing around the samples and stuff, yeah. in such a way, you know.
That's greatness right there. That's when you really have greatness. A record.
I was listening to Future last night just thinking about that.
I'm like, greatness.
There's a reason why he can go in and make a million fucking songs and they all sound great. It's because he knows how to ride the beat in a way that motherfuckers can't.
Gives them what they want. Yeah. He knows what they want.
So what was the first song that like started to take off? Or like you're still making music at that point and it was not going that well, I'm assuming. When did it start to kick in?
It was going well for my area in the city of Brampton. I was doing good. Like, I was in the south region of Brampton, so...
Oh, so you had your own local buzz at a certain point? It wasn't just, like, internet-based? Because I feel like that's a lot of times with kids.
I never focused on the internet at that time. I was doing old school. I used the internet in order to get everybody in the area, get everybody outside.
Right.
Right, because everybody... I know when you're going home on Facebook. I know when you're going to be tweeting, when you wake up on Instagram. I don't know that shit. So I just used to play it like that.
That's really interesting. Like time wise,
yeah.
Like what time you tweet something might be the most important thing. People don't normally think about that.
I even go over and over again just to annoy motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a degree of that. There's a degree of which like being too annoying is too much, and in which like you know you want to fucking really remind people like you can't just tweet. You know, well, I mean, I was gonna say you can't just tweet your album link once, but then I was like, well, that's basically like what Drake does.
Well, but yeah, he's powerful enough, you know what I'm saying? Exactly, he can fucking do that. He's Jizzy Jake, come on, baby.
That's the tough one. That's why you got to convince people that, too. It's like, you know, just because Drake's only tweeting his link once, like, you might have to retweet it a few times. Not you, but, like, just people in general, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So in your opinion, when your music, like, really started to take form, when you started to, like, feel more confident in what you were doing?
It was when I actually moved to my Catholic school.
Okay.
2014.
And what was it about that environment?
I was freestyling a lot, and used to freestyle in the calf, used to freestyle in the foyer, and I was never, ever missing out on that.
And you just loved it?
I loved, bro. It was my life at one point. Mm-hmm. I'm just freestyling every time, always trying to get better. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
And was it super competitive? Where like, you had to take some other,
niggas are coming in trying to you know, spit better bars, and even if they did, like, I was always trying to come up my shit, and niggas always said, yo, you have a flow. Mm. Even though if I wasn't bringing like the punchlines, I always had a flow, mm-hmm. right? And there was like a flow that, which was the double time, niggas were not doing. Niggas always come, da-da-da-da-da-da. No, I wasn't doing that shit. I'm coming for you bar after bar. And I was one point where I made my, like, we were battling. We used to have friendly battles and shit, but we used this, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we're having this battle in the calf, and then, like, everybody's in the corner. And people, the principal didn't like us doing it. They didn't like us, but they always try to stop us, but we kept doing it. And there was one freestyle where niggas, like I spat a bar, and everybody jumped on the table. And they're like, wow, oh my God. And I never forget that day.
Do you remember the bar?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I never remember my bars. I never do. That's why I have to write it down and shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, that must have been a beautiful thing, like seeing people finally react like that.
Yeah. It was amazing. Like, I never thought I was that good. But mm-hmm. but that's when I realized, okay, you know what? I'm going to do something with this. You know, mm-hmm. like, actually, like take this music somewhere. I know I can, like, you know? So it gave me so much motivation and comfort and confidence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what do you do from there? Like, how do you progress in your pursuit from there?
Making sure my art was better. I had to make sure I stopped. I used to go on like old school boom bap shit. That's what I used to rap on, me and my boys, because I had a click back then, but everybody went into their own life. But I started making different kind of music, you know, like, but it was like music that people could listen to, mm-hmm. right? Because I needed to challenge myself. I'm like, I want to listen to this kind of music too, so why don't I make music that I want to listen to just as much as people want to listen to as well. Mm-hmm. If I want to listen to it, because I'm a music head, I know if I like it, and because I hate my music as well. I actually hate my voice on the mic. I only like my voice now.
Even now?
No, I like it. I like it now.
You've grown to like
yeah.
it? Did you dislike it at first?
Yes.
I think a lot of people
I
go through that.
I hated my
yeah.
voice, man. So I was so hard on myself, like Simon Cowell on my ass. You know what I'm saying? Dead ass, bro. I was not.
But you got to be that critic. Like, yeah. Because if you just make your first song, you're like, yo, this is the dopest song.
Nah, man.
Nah.
My first song I knew was trash.
Yeah, okay,
it was
good,
disgustingly
yeah.
trash. But, you know, I knew I had to give people what they want in order for me to even be out there. Mm-hmm. Right? I can't just make this old school shit because I like it and it sounds cool and that's what we were doing, you know, because all we used to listen to is that. But I gotta make music for now and make music for the future. So that's what I started doing and trying to perfect that craft of my own. And it led me into meeting my manager
mm-hmm.
and the entire team. And it was just like after that I got into, because I used to record myself.
Yeah.
Right. Everything I used to record myself, and then I got in. He brought me to an engineer in Toronto, and then I started making completely different music.
Right.
And that's when I started learning how to like really engineer and make beats and shit.
Yeah, that's one thing I was thinking when I listened to your shit too. Is like, how did he? Because especially the stuff that you recorded when you were super young. I'm like, how did he learn how to structure a song like this? It's so much more like in depth and fluid than like a lot of the rap stuff that I listen yeah. to. Like, so before you started recording, before you got a manager and stuff, you were doing everything on your own, and then you get with the engineer and he taught you a lot about how to do things?
No, he didn't really teach me. I watched.
Okay.
Right? Because I'm the visual learner, so I never asked questions. If I needed to, I would always ask. Like, with anybody I worked with, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I just, like, producers too, that I just want to know and learn. So if I ever want to do this myself, I know how.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I already knew enough in order to like actually make a beat. Cause I have a one beat I made with my boy Francis mm-hmm. on my album, right? And that's just like the first beat I've ever gone on that I'm actually using, you know? But it's helped like me watching and learning from these guys. It's cause I used to do my shit. I started with a $40 mic, right, that I bought off a friend. And I used to record in my bedroom, and I never knew shit about nothing. But me seeing it happen before my eyes, and I had one friend, Shaw Hustle. He taught me a lot when it comes down to beats, facts. Right. He taught me. I used to ask him questions a lot, and how, because I never used Fruity Loops. I used Logic, so I was always like questioning, like, how do you do this and that, and what's this and what's that? And he showed me so much, and it was like, after that, I knew, okay. I could really make like I could do something else just besides singing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like engineer my own music and engineer other people. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, if you really understand what everybody else in the room is doing, that's yeah. like such beneficial
oh, yeah.
stuff. Besides, like if you're just some guy who just shows up and just spits and then just walks away and like you never really know what's being done. You don't know yeah. about the effects and everything. Like there's some
I need those effects. Yeah. I need to have my reverb here and the echoes. I need all that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I just need to construct it. It's like when I make a song, it's like my baby.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So is that's really interesting. Because when I listen to your stuff, it sounds like so much time is taken with it. Is that's your recording process? You don't make stuff quickly?
I do actually.
Okay.
I make stuff like that.
And is it always pre-written lyrics or do you hear a beat?
No, I used to pre-write lyrics, but sometimes I like only write a verse and a hook and then I freestyle the second verse just while I'm doing the booth. Right. And then I just slap my ad libs on like after that. Like, you know, my engineer Sonny, we've been going at that for like 2 years now. We make songs like No Tomorrow. Like, boom,
really?
Boom, boom. Yeah. Cause he works fast. I work fast. Right. I don't like wasting time, especially if I know what I'm doing. But as of recently, I've been freestyling everything. So it does take my time.
Really?
Right. Yeah, every bar for bar. I've been freestyling everything.
So that's really interesting because, I mean, I think a lot of people would think that when it comes to people who are making the kind of music that you make, that you wouldn't be able to do that punching in approach.
Nah, because I used to rap, right? So it's easy for me, right? I bring a rap approach to my music.
Do you, like, the average person who makes music that's sort of similar to you, do you know other people who sort of do things the same way? Or
not
would you
age.
Say it's very out of the ordinary? Yeah.
Not my age, really.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I've never really seen anybody my age do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or never really. You know, I know niggas go bar for bar,
mm-hmm.
but like constructing a song, like a whole, like with like even if you're changing the beat, you're adding like your ad libs and certain ad libs or riffs, right? I've never, because I've only seen rappers go bar for bar. I've never really seen singers go bar for bar.
That's really interesting. So at what point did you start to like feel like you were experiencing some degree of success? Like you said, you had like the town, your whole yeah, city started to fuck with you and stuff. Did you have like a viral moment online or anything?
Not really, no. I had songs that made my city go, whoa, mm-hmm, this is new. We've never heard this guy before, you know? And that's when I was rapping Fabricated. You know what I'm saying?
Still back then.
Yeah. That was still way back then. Like, that was before I even went to Toronto, mm-hmm, right? And then I just had to, like, it came to a point where after I went to Toronto, just stopped fabricating. And that's when I started jumping, right? And started making different music. And I was really just in my feelings, expressing myself. Because right, I wasn't around anybody from my town.
Okay.
I wasn't around my mom. I was like sleeping on couches and shit.
So it was like getting away from all those people that you were able to completely just change up your yeah, whole sound because you didn't have people like pressuring you to do the same shit you were doing?
Yeah, man. I felt so free.
Yeah.
You know, like I could say what the fuck I want, do what I want, be who I want, and nobody could like tell me shit.
That's cool, because that would be such like a crushing experience for a lot of people where you lose all your friends. All of a sudden, you got to be at a different school. You don't know anybody, but you actually made like a positive out of it.
I always try to make positive out of everything, you know? Yeah. Every negative, there's a positive.
It's really interesting, though, too, because you're saying that you're influenced by like all these people who were sort of bending the genres at the time, like Drake and The Weeknd and everybody. Yeah. Was that something had you already thought about making that kind of music or going in a direction that was more soulful like before you did the move?
No. I just wanted to make music. I didn't know I'd make this music.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wanted to hear myself the way I was with the bars and the music that I have now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know I'd make like all kinds of different music when it came down to singing and shit. Like I don't know. I was open-minded to it, but it just never crossed my mind.
Right.
You know, I just like loved. I just wanted to make music, whatever it was.
Yeah, I love that you kind of have like a style. Like it sounds a little Canadian to me. Like I'm like, yes, he has a little bit of that influence. Yeah. Like he's coming yeah, from like a very specific like reference point in the sense that like, you know, you clearly learned a lot from a lot of the other like hometown heroes coming from Canada. You know, or like at yeah, least saw what they were doing.
Yeah, like they really like set the tone mm-hmm, for everybody in Toronto.
For experimentation. And when you look, I mean, that goes a long way. When you look at even like, you know, why does everybody in New York rap kind of like New Yorkers? You know, it's because it's New York. And it's like yeah, in Canada, there's like a very different feel of like a lot of the stuff that's coming out of there.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's very specific too, you know?
Yeah. What was like, when did you start to feel like you were going outside of your area and everything when it started to blow up a little bit?
What was the question again? Sorry.
When you started to blow up, when you started to get recognition outside yeah, of just Canada and stuff online or whatever it was.
That, like, how did I feel?
Or when did it happen?
When did it happen? That happened same year, like late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a track with Deslof.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was what got, like, some heads going up.
That was the first one?
Yeah, that was, I believe, the first one.
Okay. And was that just a thing where you're like your label was like, man, Deja Love is hot right now. Maybe we could like work something out with her. You know, did they know her somehow? Or?
No, I wasn't with the label. It was just me and my management.
Right.
And we seen that, you know, Deja Love was hot, you know, and I was like, it was a good opportunity for me right now mm-hmm, because I'm at, like, my numbers are good. You know, I'm looking good out here too. So I feel like, you know, we can get something popping. And she was like, she was down. She was about it. We hit her up. And, you know, we got the track done. And I was like, whoa, this is my first track from an American artist.
Really?
Right, yeah. Like, I've never thought it would be that fast.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened, you know?
That's that American work ethic right there. We get shit done.
Get shit done.
Out here. Yeah. Me and Dej Loaf, we get shit done. So then that first project, Exes,
yeah,
did that all came out before you discussed signing with OVO or anything?
No. No. That came out after I was signed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But what's the process of putting that together like? And was it hard for you to choose 6 songs, given that you make a lot of music?
Yes. Yeah. It was very, very hard. It was very complicated. We were going back and forth.
Because that's your first look to the world, too, in a lot of ways. Like, they had heard yeah, some songs, but, like, your first small body of work, even as an EP?
Yeah, it was very important because this is how the world's going to go back and backtrack and see, okay, this is where you started from.
Right.
With OVO. You know what I mean? So I feel like one of the biggest projects I ever made, right? Because that's like, I still get credit for that. People still tell me they listen to X's. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I listened to it like three times last night, as well as the new one, and I really, yeah, it's just, it's great. From start to finish, it's just something about it. It's just very nice and compact, and it's like really just so well done for a short project.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I don't even listen to music like that for the most part, too, but I was like out here jamming. I was like really thinking, like, man, maybe I got to stop listening to Fredo Santana all the time and like actually like getting my feels.
Maybe. What's the time? What's the time? Maybe go up to the winter, you know what I'm saying? Go where the cold is.
For real, man, yeah. I'm from New Hampshire, man. It's pretty fucking cold up there. Where I'm like 6 hours from Montreal. Like,
jeez.
Where I grew up, if I were to drive 6 hours north in Montreal, that's where I first had an alcoholic beverage.
Oh, yeah? Montreal?
Went up there when I was like 16. Yeah. Drank like a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Yeah.
You could do that shit, drink at a young age. I think the age is 18.
Yeah.
The legal age for drinking is 18 now?
We were 16, but we were drinking. But, you know, we used to go into like the porn stores and stuff too, which this is 1999, 2000, so you couldn't just go online.
Yeah.
So we were going to all those stores and buying like dirty magazines and stuff, which seemed really exciting to me at the time.
Shit, I never even seen a porn store in my fucking life.
Really?
Never.
Oh man, they used to have that shit everywhere. I know you're probably right though. Like now when I think about it,
they have sex stores.
Yeah, sex store. You know, you go in there, you buy a freaking dirty magazine. I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty embarrassed to admit that was something I was doing. I'm not admitting how fucking old I am right there.
We're growing. It's okay. We can talk about this shit.
That's just me being old as fuck. I remember one time when I first went to Montreal too, that like I went into like a Subway and like there's stacks of hundreds near the register because the guy who was making my sandwich had to like go in back and there's it had to be at least like $3,000-$4,000 in hundreds right near the register. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, I'm in a different country. If I grab that and I run, they're not going to be able to catch me. But the thing is, I had my friends with me. And I was like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to like, get my friends on board with my plan and bullshit. Get them to take off. Like, even if I said to them, come on, let's go, I thought that they would probably be like, what? No, we're eating, bro. Like, they wouldn't understand. Like,
let's eat our food first.
Yeah, so I could have hit a lick at a young age. I probably would have gone to jail.
Probably.
In a foreign country as well. Yeah.
Unless you were, you know, low-key about it.
Okay. Okay, how does the OVO conversation start? Because that's like the craziest shit ever.
It was random. You know, I was having a normal day.
And it ceased to be a normal day after that, yeah.
I was writing a song, actually. Mm-hmm. And I got a DM from Oliver. I'm like, I know who this is. What's going on? So I checked the DM. And he said to hit him, you know, send him some tracks and shit. So we connected from then on. That was after the Just Love track.
Right.
And I think like a month or two after. Yeah, and... we connected for months. We were just going back and forth conversation, you know? Ollie's my guy, man. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the real one. He held me down when I was like, you know, like he believed in it when I didn't even know what to believe in.
Right.
You know, I just knew I had music, you know, and I love music and me and my guys needed it, you know, get out.
And the conversations were just sort of general, like just about your music or what?
No, life, man. Right. We used to talk about life and shit, bro.
Wow.
Dead ass, man. I used to tell Ollie about my problems at the time and shit, what I was going through, you know? Like I wouldn't like, you know, put it on him, but you know, we would talk about it and shit because you wanted to know, you know? It was deeper than music.
Right.
You know, like we actually got to talk about life and shit. And he gave me advice and it's helped me. Till this day, I still know what he's told me, like, to make that advice, to use that advice to my life, you know, like, and it's shit has gotten me so much like stronger to know, like, cause I'm like, fuck, I felt like a small town, like I'm a small town kid, but like I never went outside, mm-hmm. So like I was like, it felt like even small, like I don't know the world,
right?
You know, like all my friends went to amusement parks and shit, like all the time with their friends. I was just at home for summer, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like me. No, like Oliver being there and like showing me Wagwan really like opened my eyes, made me like, okay, like I'm gonna believe in myself for sure.
When did the conversation about you potentially signing to the label start to unfold?
That was till the I believe the next year.
Okay,
so into 2015, top of 2015 or so.
And how did you feel when that idea came out there? Because once you first started having a conversation with him, you must have started to sort of think about it. Like, is he grooming me? Is this going to turn into something?
Yeah, like, I just let it be. I'm like, I'm just going to, I want to keep this relationship.
Right.
You know, and then see what I can, see what happens, you know, see what for me. And if anything happens for them, and that's what happened. You brought it up to me in the OVO story.
In the OVO store.
Yeah, there's a new OVO store.
That's it.
And we were talking in the corner of the store, and he brought it to me. I was like, my heart dropped. You know, my heart just dropped. I didn't know what to think. I'm like, is this really happening to me right now?
Mm-hmm.
So, and shit. Yeah, that's pretty much it, bro.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And so was it a hard decision or did you?
Nah, it wasn't really hard for me. I felt like I was going, I knew where I wanted to go. I knew where I wanted to go, you know? Mm-hmm. I already know the music, you know? And I, like, actually, I live off the music. So, like, it was like, just no, it was like a no-brainer for me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
When's the first time you met Drake?
At the Energy video.
Okay.
The Energy video shoot, that's where I met him.
Okay.
My heart dropped like a motherfucker.
Had you had, like, conversations with him, like, through the label and stuff? Or was it, is he sort of, like, the figurehead that, like, there's so many other people working there that you don't necessarily see or talk to him that
no,
much?
No, me and the boy talk.
Okay.
Yeah, me and the boy talk.
The boy.
Yeah, man, yeah. I remember he texted me randomly, and he told me, yo, this is the boy, you know, welcome to the family. I was like, this is really happening to me right now. Holy fuck.
That's crazy.
You know, yeah, so... and that was just the first time, and then we met at the Energy video, and you know we chopped it up there. He's an amazing guy, man. He's really nice, man.
Yeah,
you know, he's a really really like oh he has an opening energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you know people want to go to him,
right?
You know, and it's
yeah. When we have that conversation about like knowing yourself, I mean he's just like the definition of it. Where when you hear his music, like he makes so many stylistic choices that are so bold and like so open at the same time. It's just kind of. I don't know. And I mean, realistically, when you look at music, it's like he's got like a 10-year reign going on that is just like baffling, you know? So, I mean, for you to sign to him, it's kind of like, it's got to be, it must have just been like a mind-blowing experience to be like, these dudes fuck with me? All right. Like, I must really have something going on here.
It was dead ass, bro. Like, I was just listening to Marvin Zoom yesterday, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then.
You made me go back and listen to it a couple times last night because you were mentioning that had a big impact on you. And I was just re-listening to it, thinking about, like, trying to put myself in your position, hearing that and being like, fuck, like, I gotta make some shit that's dope like this.
It's fucked because I was my sad boy Roy mode the other day, and I actually went back to that song and I was like, oh, I remember why I love this song. Oh, I remember.
You know, it's so funny is I got this friend, Lil House Phone, and he told me that he was all fucking messed up on various chemicals and that he's driving down La Brea right over here and they drive by the OVO store and he's all fucked up. So he just goes, hey man, fuck Drake. And he said that all the employees, like six dudes, ran after the car, like trying to fight him.
Oh shit.
And I was like, man, I didn't know that if you go and work at the OVO store that you also have to like be on guard for that kind of thing.
Some crazy shit.
If somebody drove by here and yelled the fuck at him, I would just expect my friends to be like, whatever. So I thought that was pretty impressive. I'm like, man, they're riders.
Ride or die, man.
Well, the collab that you guys did on the first mixtape, was that, what was the process behind that like?
It was like behind the song or the tape itself?
But behind the one song that you and Drake did together, was that like something you made and then showed him?
I made it. And yeah, I sent it to him. He wanted to hop on it.
Really?
Yeah. So I opened. I was actually just a verse. It was just like, there's a verse hook. No, hook verse hook.
Okay.
Right? So there was no. So we had to create the second verse, right? But I was just making music. I was just at the computer table, just writing songs, just going at it, and sometimes even recording it. Like before I go to the studio to get it mastered, right? So I was just, I didn't roll. It was just normal. As I said, it was a normal motherfucking day. Right. Normal as shit. And the I think Oliver hit me. He said the boy wanted to go on it. So I was like, oh, okay. Say, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
Why not? It was the first track ever.
How long did it take for you to hear what he did to it?
Not long.
No?
Not long. Like a matter of like a month.
How'd you feel when you heard it?
I was like, God damn, this is it.
Yeah.
This is really it. Like, holy shit. And he went hard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, really hard.
Yeah. Like, he went hard. Like, I was like, my life's about to change.
I mean, you never really hear, like, Drake do, like, a shitty feature. But, you know, there are good features and there are bad features. And that's definitely one where he, like, sort of just went all the fuck in. Yeah. That was crazy.
He went hard. Because when I performed that song, they chant that shit.
Yeah.
They sing that shit. Like, no tomorrow. Lose their voice, bro. I swear.
Totally. Yeah. What was your live experience like? Do you love performing live?
It's the best part of this business for me.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love it. Like, I would never trade performing. Oh my God. Like, just that feeling of having, being on the stage is like my home. Knowing that like I'm singing my pain and my happiness and my thoughts, and they sing it to the top of their lungs, bro. That's a feeling I can never replace.
Right.
And that's from when I first went on Summer 16. I started to experience that a little bit, because people would know my songs in the crowd and shit. I was like, oh shit. And when I performed Drama, everybody has their phones out. Yeah. Like, shit. But then I went on my own tour, the Unlocked tour, and that was when I was like, this is it right here. This is what I had in my dreams.
Right.
You know what I mean? And after that, I feel like I always say, like, we just finished the tour, and like that last show in Calgary that we did felt like it.
Yeah.
Like I actually lost my voice, and I was almost gonna cancel the show. I was like, fuck, like I don't know how I'm gonna do this. But I had a cold too, because we were going from hot to cold. So it was like, I'm telling Sonny, my engineer, I'm like, yo, like we're doing a sound check. I'm like, yo, I don't know, bro. Like my throat's feeling weird. He's like, my security guard Juice, he helped me find ways around it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, fuck it, I have to do this show. It's sold out already. Like I can't disappoint them. I can't do that, you know? Especially because my throat's hurt. I'm gonna find a way around it.
You and know? It's the last show of the tour?
It's the last show of the tour.
So you can go home and chill after that.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So why am I gonna do that? Right? So I was like, fuck it, do it. And I felt an energy I never felt before.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm performing with no voice. I can't, you know, project the voice I want to and go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very weird for me. But it was a moment that I'll never remember. That was literally like the moment I seen in my dreams when I was a kid writing music. Like that moment right there, I'm looking at the crowd and that was it. You know, I seen that in my dream. I knew it. I felt it. And I felt like that energy, you know?
And that's what you're looking forward to, because a lot of people, when they think about what it's like to be a musician, they don't think about the fact that all those first shows are fucking terrifying. Yeah. Like when I see a rapper go out, and like even a rapper I know who's going to be really big, and they go out and perform to 5 people, or like they perform to 100, 1,000 people, but the people don't give a fuck. Yeah. It's like that shit is hard to get through. That's the shit that'll make you want to quit.
Yep.
Going out there and getting no response, you know?
Facts.
When you first start. So then like having that experience of going out there and really having people like fuck with it 100%, that must have been insane.
It was, because I remember on Summer 16, like as I said, there were people that wouldn't even sing the songs or know who the fuck I was, right? Mm-hmm. So I was probably just coming off of City River, you know? I was going to like the fans, interacting and shit. So I had to go from interacting with fans and they don't feeling lit and going back to like square one, right? But I had to like take that energy and like make sure they knew who the fuck I was.
Yep.
Instead of just, you know, being okay, they don't know who I am, so I'm not gonna give them anything. Oh, fuck that shit. I'm going hard. I'm gonna make sure you remember me. Even if you don't know my name, you're gonna go back home and just go type Roy Woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I wanted to give. And after just mastering that feeling, nervousness was nothing to me.
Yeah.
Until like doing my own, like literally until like that last show.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that I just did.
That's amazing.
See like a whole crowd for you, just for you, like it was like, 15,000 people or some shit? I was like, oh my God. Like, they packed up the place.
That's crazy.
Packed up the place. I was like, wow, this is a moment. And all the lights are up, like every single one. I'm seeing that in other rapper shows and shit. So I'm like, damn, I want that too.
Yeah, for real, right?
You know?
There's something about like when you look out and all you see is phones.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's good enough to have the crowd there, but then, and it's good enough for them to like be into it. But then once they have to film it, it's like, oh man.
Yeah, it's like, goddamn.
I feel so happy for the musician when I see that. And I'm like, well, they really like you now.
Now you know it.
now you're good. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about this, too. What's your relationship with social media like? Like, what's your favorite social network? How do you choose to relate to it? How much are you on it per day?
Instagram.
It's all Instagram?
I go on, you know what? I just watch.
Okay.
I like go on my Snap story sometimes. I don't like Snapchat because everybody wants to fucking know what your business is.
Right.
And every time you post a Snap, they have to message you. So I go ghost. Fuck that shit. I'm not there.
So you don't like to over-document your own life? You just like to, you know, observe?
Yeah, I like to live in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I live in the moment. And if you're with me in the moment, then you get to see it. And I would like to, like, broadcast some shit, but I don't broadcast everything.
Yeah.
Not everything is meant for the eyes.
I mean, it's a weird place to put yourself in as a musician once you start to, like, just be like, hey, here's, you know, here's 3 minutes of me on my Instagram story every single day, just doing whatever. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, like, you know, sometimes people don't get excited to hear your music if they see so much of you on social media that they feel like they already know what you've been up to.
Yeah, and that's not what I want people to ever think.
Yeah,
you know that you can catch up to me.
Yeah,
you
know? And that's one thing that, like, when you look at really big artists, is that they're usually really careful about how much of you, what they give you, because at the end of the day, they're selling you them, you know, they're selling you themselves. And like, if they give it to you all for free, then it's not, you know,
then why are you in this business, bro?
Yeah, exactly.
But for free like that.
Yeah. What about this new project?
You're like, say less.
Crazy excited about it. How do you think this is going to be the one that changes the game for you?
This is the album that changes my life, because this is not, what makes it so big for me is that this is not just one person from the family, from the family's art. This is two, because my sister made the cover art.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, my little sister. She made it. So that's what makes it even more special for me.
Because how old is she?
She's 19, turning 20.
Okay.
Right. So this is like something big for her too, you know, because she's been like, I remember there was days where she felt like, you know, she didn't know where she wanted to go with her art, and she didn't think it would be far, because take her far, because there's so many artists in the world, you know. She had her reasons, and I was like, fuck, I'm doing art and I'm not even there yet, but if I can do it, I know you can do it.
Yeah,
you know. And I'm happy I was able to find a way for my sister to, you know, believe in herself and get her out to the world in a way she never thought would be possible so quick. She always thought, and even I thought, it would be, we'd get on with our lives and do shit like this later. You know, I thought I'd be doing interviews like 25, 26 or some shit.
Really?
You know, I never thought I'd be doing that at 21, man. You know, so I'm happy to see that my sister is doing like art, and I could like, and it's like us coming together. Cause I taught my sister how to draw, like, and she learned off of me, she tells me, you know? So to see, like, to know that and then see it put to use.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's crazy that you were able to actually get like the label to be into it and everything. Cause I feel like a lot of times if a performer were to say to the label, like, this is what I want to do for the art, that they'd be like, no, or like they wouldn't let you like fully have creative control like that.
Nah, man.
That's amazing.
They were very open to the idea, man. You know, like they really loved the art.
Mm.
You know, when I brought the art to everybody, they're like, who the fuck made this? You know, it was like my little sister.
That's amazing.
You know, so I'm happy that they even loved the idea, because it gave, you know, an opportunity for my sister that she didn't even know.
Mm.
You know, and like her eyes is open now. You know, like she's doing so much good in her life, but now people around the world get to see her art. You know, she was such a quiet kid in school, so, but they knew that she did art. You know,
that's crazy. Like, so, just you being able to give her that opportunity is a big deal, you know.
Yeah, I'm thank God that I'm able to even do that, man. You know,
she's gonna be doing like the 21 Savage album cover next, or something.
Whatever God has for her, man. I hope she's ready.
You're gonna ask her to do your next one. She's gonna be like, "Yo, I need 50 racks. This is, things have changed, brother."
I don't know about that family thing no more.
You might have put me on, but that was back in the day.
I didn't even say that good.
Oh man, that's amazing. Yeah, yeah. All right, so what's the difference between like Roy Woods on this tape or this album and like, you know, you when you first started to come onto the scene? Like, how do you feel your stuff has matured and got more sophisticated
With life, that with me living life? My music grows with my life and grows with me as a person, right? So if I don't grow, then my music can't, you know. There's no, and I can't make music all the time. I have to have space for me to grow as a person, you know. And I made sure that, because I told you earlier, I used to, you know, fabricate a bit. I just stopped that shit because I want to be true to every lyric and make sure that, you know, even if it's like something that I'm speaking about that I don't have now, I know I will. So that's why I will speak upon it. Because whenever I make music, I've always seen things happen in the future that there will be a bar that I can reference that has happened to me like a year later, 2 months later, a week later. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I don't know why, but it just happens. So I go with that, you know, cause, and it's always worked for me.
That must be a great feeling as a rapper to be like rapping about a car you ain't got, and then all of a sudden you get it, and you're like shit, God damn. Now I gotta talk about some other car that,
right?
I don't got.
I gotta talk about like three.
Yeah. Now I gotta talk about the Wraith. There we go. That's fire. I seen you had a bunch of features from a couple of people we had on the show. Rich Kid, P&B Rock.
Yeah, man. Those are the guys. Are
those, you got personal relationships with them, or how'd those come about?
Yeah, man. I met P&B at Day and Night. And he fucked with me. I was like, damn, say a word, you fucking me, bro. And he said, nah, man, you hard, bro. You know, and I was like, man, likewise, my nigga. And we connected, and you know, he came up to the mansion. Okay, we had like a little spot up in the hills and shit, and we was just recording, and shit, it was just vibe. Like, we FaceTime all the time and shit, you know, just to check up on bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, he'll check up on me too and shit. Like, he's a real, real, real dude, bro. Yeah. You know, real nice guy, man.
Yeah, I like Pete, man.
Yeah, you know, and Richard Kidd, we met, actually, I never met him yet.
Oh, okay.
But he hit me up, dude, on Twitter, and we connected, like, what, that was like a year ago or so? We connected, we've been sending tracks to each other. You know, like, I would send him shit and he'll send it back, you know what I'm saying? And we just keep going. And he's a cool dude too, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, we'll FaceTime all the time too.
That's a really good sign if he reached out, because, like, he has, like, a bizarre ear for talent. Like, I've even had people in the industry be like, yo, Rich is, like, the number one A&R, and nobody realizes
it. He's sick, bro.
It's crazy,
he's
right?
Sick.
He just sort of knows.
Yeah. Yeah, he just goes with it.
Yeah.
You know, he knows it and he sticks with it. And, like I seen... Look what he did, Famous Dex, and now he's doing with Jay Critch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I know, he knows what he's doing. You know what I'm saying?
That's facts.
Yeah,
have you been through any, like, recent, newer heartbreak that has, like, informed what you talked about on this album? Or are you still talking about the old ones?
I'm going through a heartbreak right now.
Really?
Yeah. It's my, I haven't been this way. I haven't felt like this in years.
Really?
Right, yeah. So, but... This album has some of her on there, I'll say. There's a lot of different angles of relationships and girls that are on this album, you know, instead of just like waking up on her exes,
right.
Which would be mostly about one girl.
Right.
Right. But I'm already making music right now, just channeling that energy and getting all this sadness out.
So the next album could be the sadder album? Theoretically.
Next, I'll say the new music will be refreshing.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't even say if it's album or not. I'm just saying that the new music you're going to hear is refreshing, more sadder.
Yeah.
I'm putting way more energy into it because of how I feel.
See, that's the problem, though, is that if you get, the bigger you get, the more hoes you're going to get, and then, you know, then your relationships cease to, like, really be that important or meaningful. All of a sudden, your entire album's about fucking groupies that you've known for 5 minutes.
Nah, but it's fucked, cuz though. It's actually never like that for me, really.
Oh, you're not that kind of guy?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. Like, I mean, I'm young, you know? Like, I live free.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't really fuck with a lot of people.
Right.
Right? So, I'm choosy. Mm-hmm. I'm really picky, you know?
That's a way to be.
Yeah, and I like it. I like it like that. It works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. But, oh, shit, well, I was just going to say something. Fuck. Fuck it. That's how my mind works. Fuck it.
Something about love.
Oh, yes.
Love.
Fucking love, man. Shit. Oh, man. No, but this heartbreak I'm going through, not even about, like, a groupie bitch or some shit, you know?
Did you choose to leave this relationship, or did she choose to dead it?
And
is it because
what?
You there got so much clout now?
It's actually, there was no relationship. That's the false fucked up part.
Oh, there wasn't?
There was no relationship. There was a relationship. We were just trying to, I was trying to keep a friendship. You know? But, like, I really love the person. Because we have history together, right? So, like, as lovers as well.
Right.
So, and it was fucked because we just got in a car accident, right? Recently. Like in August. And that, like... I don't know. There's always something in life that always brings us closer, but then, like take us away from each other's lives.
Right.
Right. And I feel like right now, like, because I decided to leave and be like, I can't even be around you anymore. You know, I just can't do it. So it's taking a toll on me because I don't want to.
Right.
You know, I still love that person.
You get filled with that guilt from, like, the fact that you have to leave it behind.
Yeah, you know, there's so much history, you know, so much you've been through with one person, you know, that you haven't gone through with anybody else. Like, you know, I don't just get in car accidents with anybody,
mm-hmm.
especially with that person. Like, it just fucked me up,
yeah.
You know? But it's like, it's almost like refreshing.
Right.
Because I haven't felt this kind of sadness in a while.
Really?
Yeah. I've been so happy.
You still got it in you, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, I've been so happy for so long. It's kind of hard for me to imagine feeling, like, really sad right now.
Really?
Yeah. It's been feeling good, you know. It's like, good. Yeah, that's nice. But I'm saying, like, that does have to feel good sometimes. And even like, but to be honest, like, I had like a bunch of people who are close to me die recently, and it was almost like, in a weird way, it was a little bit refreshing to be like, oh, look, you can still cry, like, you could still be sad about something. Like
I can still fucking feel.
Yeah, because it took a lot, but you know, it's nice to remind yourself of that sometimes.
It is, you know, and you know, some like, thank God it wasn't like a like something worse, but. Like, you know, it's refreshing to know, like, okay, like, I can like, feel this pain again, you know? Mm-hmm. And without having to, like, look for it, it's literally, and it feels like crap. You feel like, I feel like shit at the same time, but it's like, okay, I know even, man, I know why I sing, you know? This is why.
Right.
So I'm going to take this pain that I feel, and, you know?
And if you were to be in, like, say you put out another album in 2 years, say you were in a super happy, committed, perfect relationship for 2 years, I mean... You might have to reach a little bit to figure out what to talk about.
Yeah, maybe. And like, depending on how I live my life, I feel.
That's true. Right? I mean, when the album's ready, when it's time to do the album, you go just fuck it up. Just go fuck a stripper in front of her or something. Just do something terrible. And then, then you have to do a whole album of, like, repentance.
Right? I don't know.
As an artist.
That album may come soon. I don't know how soon, still. Like,
that's the midlife crisis album.
I can't do that kind of shit. that's crazy for me.
Yeah. It's just an idea.
Maybe it happened. Maybe I'll be fucked up off a lot of Hennessy.
That'll do it, man.
Shit, maybe.
Does this say Hennessy on your bandana?
Yes, it does.
Okay, I was just checking, because I can only see, like, H-E and then a little bit of another letter.
No, it's that hand dog.
Beautiful.
Got that hand dog.
Anything's possible. I got a Roy Woods interview. Anything's possible.
Anything possible, yes, it.
Do you want to send any, anything else we need to know about the album? Any shout-outs you want to do or anything before we wrap this up? We just crossed the hour mark, for the record.
Damn, really? Already?
Shit. Everyone's always surprised when I tell them it's been an hour, yeah.
Wow, okay, well, this is amazing. I want to get the fuck back here, too. This is amazing.
Let's do it.
Oh, man, but the album is literally all of me, my life. And I've put all of, me and the team have put all of this into it. You know, this is, like, this album is, I can't even find words for it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just my canvas. You know, and I've taken a lot of time, a lot of pain, a lot of moments and energy into this. You know, me, the producers that have worked on this album with me, you know, UTO, OVO, we've all been, you know, hands on and had a piece of the cake, you know, and it's like. Now that it's go time, this is my first debut album, and people, like, there's been a few people that think I already had an album out. To know that this is my first debut album, this is like, I'm giving you guys all of me now, so.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. You
enjoy
know?
It. I've been enjoying it, so. Everybody out there, make sure you go pick that up. Hey, it's been great having you in here, man.
Thank you so much, man. I can't believe I'm on this bitch.
Really? that feels good. I'm happy that I could be part of the story.
yeah, man. No jumper, only free throws.
Hey, real talk. Hey.
I don't play ball, though.
Me neither. Shout out Roy Woods. Thank you for coming through, bro.
I you done,
this though. Has been No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Bang.
Dab out. No jumper. I'm rolling like an alpine guy. No jumper.